I'm an alcoholic. My name's Tom. And I am grateful to be sober tonight, only by God's grace, the program of Alcoholics Anonymous and the teachings of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. I want to thank Farrell for asking me to come down, but I also like to thank my brother Kent from Poway. That's where I go to meetings at, in Poway or Poway or whatever it is. and then I have a nice little group over here from the Poway, and husband and wives and lady friends and some peers from work. So I've been down in the San Diego area from the sobriety capital of Southern California, which is in the Newhall, Santa Clarita Valley. My sobriety date is August the 7th, 1985. So I come from a school of hard knocks. The bottom line is I came in. First of all, before I get going on this, can everyone hear me? How about way back? I don't want that guy is nodding out in the back. Okay, right on, man. That was you. Yeah, right on. I just want to make sure you got your I get your attention because I want to. I got some important shit to share here tonight. Okay, I've waited all these years just to say that. You know, if you're new in Alcoholics Anonymous here tonight, how many people are in the first year? Let's see how many honest people. Now, everyone that has their hand up, keep them up. Damn, man. Now, I want everyone else that doesn't have their hand up to look around the room. And we have a lot of people here with 1 year in their first year. Now, keep the hands up. Follow direction. How many of these have a sponsor? Whoop, there's a couple of them went down. Okay. How many of you that have a sponsor know that they are your sponsor? Okay, that's enough of the jokes for the night. But the bottom line is because when you're new, I want to welcome to Alcoholics Anonymous. Because when I came into Alcoholics Anonymous, I knew nothing about alcoholism. There's a big book that you hear about at every meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous. It's the most unquoted and the least read book is probably in America. And especially in this room, most likely. Okay? But if you read that doctor's opinion, whether you have a sponsor or not, and you read that doctor's opinion, I challenge you to read it. Because it's going to describe the sickness that we have. Because when I came to Alcoholics Anonymous, an alcoholic to me was a cart person. I'm from the L.A. area, San Fernando Valley up there, and I had a nice home. I had a beautiful wife. I always came to go to work in the morning. I don't know about waking up, but I always came to go to work because it talks about that in the big book. You know, actually, it talks about how that gentleman, and I'm going to jump all over the place, whether you like it or not. It doesn't matter. I'm just going to do it because this is my time, okay? But I am so grateful that alcohol, and that what I just heard right now is that laughter, is something I did not have until I came into Alcoholics Anonymous. I couldn't understand how people in a meeting like this would share about, well, I'm going through a divorce, and then someone in the background would say, yeah, but we just don't drink. It was like, gag me with a spoon or something. This shit is nutty, man. So, you know, and I also want to thank the Los Angeles Police Department. I don't know how I skipped that tonight, you know. But, you know, they thought I had a drinking and driving problem. I thought I just had a driving problem, you know. And, you know, so August the 6th in 1985, I got pulled over. And anyone else have a 502 here or drunk driving? Okay. You know they're chicken shit tickets. You know what I mean? And I wasn't even in my car. I mean, I was just putting the key in the ignition, in the door. So I don't know if I crawled up to my door that night in the parking lot or what, but I thought it was a chicken shit arrest. And I think with those laughs, there's a few other chicken shit arrests in here. Anyhow, they hauled me away to jail. And I remember sitting in protective custody, isn't that what they call it, you know? And I was in a cell by myself, and I can only remember my experience that night. That spiritual experience was someone said in that cell, "Do you think you might be an alcoholic?" And all I could do, and I know we got a lot of macho men in here, and we got a lot of us AARP men in here, and the longer we're sober, the tougher we were. I understand that, you know. But the thing is I cried, and I said yes. That lasted, you know, that prayer, get me out of this jam, God, and I'll never do this shit again, and blah, blah, blah. Well, I know some good people in LAPD, you know. Don't they know who I am? Well, they found out who I was. And my wife got off. She was on duty in another division, okay? And I don't know what the hell is so funny about this. I haven't even told the story yet. But she was in another division. And they called her up and said, yeah, we got Tom here, and what should we do with him? She says, well, at the end of the watch, her sergeant and this sergeant said, hey, you know, at the end of the watch, come on over to this station and we'll give Tom a ride home. I hate telling this fucking story. Anyways, no, I don't. So what happened that she got off the end of watch, probably one of those 4 o'clock in the morning deals or something, and there I am crying and wanting to go home with a free ride. And her sergeant says, do whatever you want. We'll just give Tommy a ride home. It's no big thing. You know what I mean? She says, book his ass. Now, I've been sober 27 years, and you folks are still laughing about that. So you know I had some choice words for that woman that I was married to. You know? And I got home, and I remember telling my wife, I was running work for a large concrete company then, and I told my wife, I said, you know what? Of course, I got showered and cleaned up and stuff, you know, and I'm going to work. I already called your job. You don't need to go to work today. And I have a guy coming to see you from work. And I said, I need a drink. I said, I'm going to be right back. And I got to be honest with you. And I know my wife, and I told my wife that many times, is if I would have left that night, that morning, it was night, 4 o'clock in the morning, but if I would have left, I knew what I was doing. I needed a drink real bad. You know, I needed what I was used to that gave me that comfort and ease, as the big book talks about. I needed that, you know. And with those heads shaking in this room tonight, we're screwed. Because, you know what? She says, no, you're not getting a drink. I got a buddy coming over. He became my first sponsor. That was one of her peers or bosses at work. He was a lieutenant then, and he was a recovered alcoholic. He came to my house with a 3-piece suit, introduced himself as an alcoholic, and I'm looking at him because I'm a contractor, and I am into the concrete and masonry business and swimming pools and, you know, we work hard back in those days. We drink hard. We play hard. We do everything hard except for taking care of the family. And I thought I was doing the best of taking care of the family. You know, and then he took me into a place where I was also in protective service in a recovery place for 28 days. And they had some nuts in there, man. And they were all law enforcement officers and families. And I didn't think I was that bad. But this old man came into that room, and he gave me a big book of Alcoholics Anonymous, Living Sober, 12 and 12, and in the 24-hour book, meditation book. And I looked at the big book, and I just said, my ex-wife got me one of those. I got one of those in a box somewhere. And he told me the best answer that I've always stuck with is, you might as well throw that one away, this one you're going to read. And I opened up that book, and right from the beginning, all I could do is say, wow. Now, I'm a GED graduate. That doesn't put me down or anything. I was too busy drinking some Ripple and White Port during high school and checking out all you beautiful women. And I didn't have time to study. I had more important things to do, okay? But it's something that happened to me that when I have a problem of reading this, by the time it gets to here, and then you can ask me what I read, and I don't know. But the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, man, I could relate to every word. I couldn't put that book down. Now, I know I'm not trying to convince any of you newcomers that that's the way to do it. But I'll tell you one thing in my life today. I have a beautiful wife. I am so grateful. I've been sober 27 years and 5 or 6 months now. And I don't say that to impress you, but it impresses the shit out of me. But what I have learned in Alcoholics Anonymous is this. We're all equal here in this room tonight. 27s, 57s, 10s, 7s, and the one-year guy, happy birthday. And the 90-day guy or 9 months guy, 90 days. You almost fucking missed that one, man. You were probably about there counting 88 or 89 days, you know. But congratulations, because that's a heck of a long time. And the gentleman was sharing about the year, or our speaker, with 4 years. I was relating to your story. And I'm sitting there saying, wow, man, no 502s. We can tell he's not from California. You know, he's got to be from the East Coast. It's too damn cold out there to drive at night, you know. Shit, you need horse and buggies back there, you know what I mean? But anyways, I have this beautiful wife that in all these years of sobriety, and we're equal here tonight because this is a one-day-at-a-time program. This is all about this 24 hours. This is about what do I do today? Do I need to make amends to that wife? Do I need to make amends to my home group? Do I need to make amends to Kent? Do I need whatever? This program has given me everything I've ever needed through the process of the 12 steps. And I like to say something like this for me. You know, and everything I'm speaking here tonight, I stole from some other old-timer or someone else. You know, I'm not a spokesperson for Alcoholics Anonymous. What I'm doing here tonight, whether you like me or you don't, and I know all of yous like me, because that's important to me, you know. And I already know that you like me because you're laughing at some ridiculous shit. Okay, but the bottom line is what I like is the unity I've never had in anywhere in my life. I just wanted to save the marriage to this lady. I still wanted to keep the nice house. I wanted those nice things. But something always interfered, and it was alcohol. Because, see, in my beginning years of drinking, I don't know what age I was, it's not important. My drunken log is really not important. What's important is I realized and I came to some type of sanity for a moment that said, shit, this isn't working. My wife is going to leave me. Because a lot of us guys, we don't want our girls to leave us, right? You know, I lost my job. Shit, I can't even buy the booze now, you know. I'm not getting laid and I don't have any money. Jesus, you know what I mean? You know, might as well start on heroin, you know. But what I'm getting at is, well, I'm sorry for you heroin addicts. Or, you know, sorry, man. But that's another 12-step program. But, you know, I'm just a lush, you know. And I like to have fun. If I can't have fun in Alcoholics Anonymous, then I don't need to be in AA. See, because there's a lot more than just taking the booze away. See, I thought if I stopped drinking, and I'm one of those guys, before I came into Alcoholics Anonymous, I joined churchianity, and I have nothing against it. And I quit drinking for 5 years. But I was still the raving maniac. I still hung out at bars. I still did, you know, the same contracting business I was in. I still heard the same stuff. Oh, he's such an asshole. And I'm sober now. Well, I was dry for 5 years. And then all of a sudden, a little thing triggered up, a resentment. Didn't know anything about a resentment. Everything I know tonight and I'm sharing, I've learned in Alcoholics Anonymous. I thought love and being a gentleman was opening the door for the woman because I'm going to score tonight. I thought, how can I love another man unconditional? Unconditional? There's always a price to be paid. Every time I fell or I, well, my problem was I thought I was in love. I didn't feel no love for the person until the wife that I'm married to. Now, I better say that tonight, huh? You know, so keep it honest. Well, I got to listen to her. She carries a mean gun, so you know what I mean? Oh, she's retired now. No. But, yeah. God bless these women that put up with, especially me. I've been a boogerhead in sobriety. You know, I haven't been the best example in Alcoholics Anonymous, but I've been an example. I've been an example what to do, and I've been an example what not to do. And the nice thing about Alcoholics Anonymous, and if we got some slippers in here, welcome back home, because they keep on telling us, keep coming back. Keep coming back. I tried to do that at church, and they gave me excommunication papers. You know? No, I wasn't Catholic, Baptist. That's just even worse. You know, I tried everything, man. I got tea up here telling me I'm Catholic. Do I look Catholic? I mean, I've been to the rabbis. I've been to the sainthood. I've been dunked, sprinkled. I tried everything. You know, what can I do? Because I wasn't feeling. All I could do was put my head on my pillow and cry. It's like, man, what is happening, man? Why can I not just not drink? So I go into this recovery place for 28 days, and I meet a sponsor. They told me to get a sponsor, a temporary sponsor. They even gave us a way out on that. So I found this guy, the guy that took me to or met me at the meeting place. You know, my wife wouldn't even buy me a drink, and we lived 30 miles from the recovery place. I just thought about this now. Wow, you were mean to me, girl. Wouldn't even buy me one beer, and not even a tall one, you know. Even give me a short dog, something, man, to get me 20 miles to the recovery place. And she didn't do it. And then I had a young man, like some of you young men in here, and he says, man, hey, Tom, I saw you laying in there in bed. And I said, now that's a real alcoholic. Now, I don't know about you men and ladies, but, man, ego deflation wasn't part of the deal here, okay? I just want to stop drinking. And everything I heard in the meeting, it was like, how can this be so true? So I did find that sponsor, and he gave me one of those telephone books. You know, I don't know if they still have them around, but you lift them up, and it goes all the way down the floor. And he had his phone number in there. And he says, call me. And I'm in the 28-day program. He says, just call me. And I thought, well, this is stupid. I'm in here. He knows where I'm at. I'm a mile away from his house. Shit. Okay? But I did follow that direction. And then he came back there, and in the hospital where I was at, they had meetings. They had big book meetings, 12 and 12, and the men's stag meeting. And, you know, that guy told me, I'm going to see you at this meeting, the same ones I just announced, the big book, 12 and 12, and the men's stag meeting. And he says, and this week we're on step 3, and I was about 2 seconds sober. And he says, so you know nothing about it. So you go around the room and share. You just pass, give your disease and your name, and you pass because you haven't worked that step yet. But he says, until that meeting comes, you know what you're going to do. And it's like, no, you're going to read on that step. So I am so grateful that someone took the, and I like to use the word force, but we don't force anyone to do anything in Alcoholics Anonymous. Bullshit. If you want what I have and you are willing to go to any length to get it, bottom line, are you willing? Am I willing? So I went to those stupid meetings because I wanted to go to open meeting like this and check out all those beautiful women. You know what I mean? I mean, because, you know, and then the meetings I did go that were open, I mean, I had 3 seconds, maybe 10 days of sobriety. I had a lot of shit to share, you know, and they never picked me, you know. No, you know. My sponsor says, and I told my sponsor, I said, those people won't let me share at that meeting, man. And he says, I'm going to make you the door greeter at that meeting. Well, I've been sober a little bit now, 10 days, And I know that he doesn't have the power to make me a door greeter. It's up to the secretary to say, hey, how would you like to be the door greeter? So I can refuse that. And he says, you're going to be the door greeter at this meeting. And you're going to ask, you're going to say, welcome, my name is Tom, and I'm an alcoholic, and that's it. That's pretty damn simple. And he's spying on me in the meeting, man. Hey, hi, I'm Tom. I'm an alcoholic. Welcome. Hi, man. All of a sudden, I see one of my buddies, man. Hey, Johnny, how's it going? Oh, man, the wife left me. I said, really, man? I said, shit. He comes over almost, it's kind of like Catholic school, and I never even went to it, but I heard a lot about it in AA. You know, it's like my sponsor got me by the ear, kind of like what my wife does today, you know. And he says, you didn't follow my direction. You don't have enough time to ask anybody how they're doing. Man, I'm sensitive. This guy's just getting me bad. So I was a door greeter. I became one of the best door greeters. I think I had that commitment for a year. Okay? I did it really good, but I thought it was time for me to lead a meeting. I had a lot of shit to share. I didn't want to read the 12 traditions because I couldn't get that one word out. You guys know the word. What is it? Oh, hello. And I said, oh, don't ask me to read that. Please, please, let me just lead the meeting. I could pick someone to read it. But I got good at it because I went home and practiced that word. You know what I mean? Because everyone else, and I was included, would sit there and laugh at the newcomer. You know? No one here in this room does that, I know. But I did it, okay? I'm telling on myself. So the bottom line is they did promote me to coffee maker. And what this has to do about Alcoholics Anonymous is the ABCs. You read it almost at every meeting. Now, back in those days, my sponsor said the ABCs stood for the ashtrays, brooms, and chairs. And that's exactly what it was about. I became the coffee maker. And most of us, when you're a coffee maker, don't mess with that coffee maker's commit. You just don't mess with it. And I did good there for a year. Out of 16 of us, I'm the only one sober to this day. I don't know. God just wasn't done with me. You know, I have children. I make a living amends only through the process. So step one, admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives had become unmanageable. If you're like me, I managed it just fine. I got a nice job. I have a nice career. I have a nice wife. She has a good career. We got a nice home. We live in a nice area. We got nice cars. We got some that have alcoholic dents in them, you know. But everything's okay. You know? Came to believe that a power greater than myself could restore me to sanity. I'm here to let you know we're all nuts. You know, you have a new thing in the medical, and I'm not a doctor, okay. But the thing is I have a good friend of mine that had 17 years of sobriety. He had a slippy poo, okay? And he went to a doctor and they diagnosed him bipolar. I have nothing against bipolar. I don't even know what it is. All I told my friend was, hey, I got tripolar, you know? No, I seriously, it's in the big book, you know? I'm bodily, mentally, and spiritually bankrupt. Bottom line. See, my wife can drink with impunity. In fact, only alcoholics, if you have someone or family members that can drink and go out and dinner and have a half a glass of wine, which makes no sense to me, okay, or they want to sniff it a little bit, you know, give me a break, you know, bring me the damn bottle, you know what I mean? I'll pour my own, you know. But only them. See, what happens to me if I take a drink, and you only know this if you read the big book, something occurs in us alcoholics, and I knew nothing about this. What's an alcoholic? A cart person. It's called the phenomena of craving. I am here tonight to let you know I really, truly, and honestly believe I can take a drink tonight. I don't care whether you agree or you disagree. That's me. I can take a drink tonight. But I cannot guarantee you that phenomena, if I believe everything that's in that big book of Alcoholics Anonymous, the phenomena of craving will occur whether it's a week from now, 2 weeks from now, or a month from now, or 6 months from now. Because it's no different than anything else this alcoholic does in his life. I don't do it to the minimize. What the hell's the use of having a drinky poo? I'm not going to drink no Listerine, no mouthwash. Doesn't make any sense. Because I am drinking for the effect. I've always drank for the effect. I love the effect. It made me bigger. That guy put the mic up, that real tall guy here, you know, and I liked that. But I was thinking, I need a stool to speak to this. I always drank. When you add alcohol to this here guy, it brings out the Bruce Lee and the Chuck Norris in me, man. You know, and I keep on drinking that night with my beautiful bride. And before you know it, I become Fred Astaire and Michael Jackson out on that dance floor. In the beginning of the night, I was hanging out in the back, and the wife would say, let's dance. No, now she's saying, you're dancing with the pole. I used to steal drinks off your table while you were dancing, and I'd be dancing too. You know? You keep on adding that alcohol. It gave me so many facades in my life. I became A.J. Foyt on the road. I can drive. I'm okay. You know? I mean, that's what it does to me. And if you read that big book of Alcoholics Anonymous, I know everything about you, and that's what it does to you. That book wasn't just written for one of us. It's written for the alcoholic that still suffers. On page 52, I'm not going to quote everything because I paraphrase. On page 52, even though you've been sober for a long time, a lot of 24 hours, page 52, it talks on that page about untreated alcoholism. It doesn't say untreated alcoholism in your first year. Because I'm here tonight, 27 and a half years, and I can go through on that page, and I'm telling you, I've been untreated alcoholic. I just didn't drink. There was 14 years of sobriety. My sponsor said, you're running on won't power, Tommy. You just won't drink no matter what. But I had no God. Oh, God was with me. I didn't want to go to your stupid AA meetings anymore. You know, I had resentments because you weren't doing the meeting the way I thought it was supposed to be going. People weren't putting enough money in the seventh tradition, and I'm Mr. Moore with a nice business, so that kind of bugged me because the bass would always come by me twice, you know. So, you know, but I had nothing. You know, I thought I wasn't in love with my wife anymore. I thought her career was too more important than me. You know, I got into that self, that poor me another drink, and that's what happens. The main problem of the alcoholic is centered in his stomach, right? Where's it centered at then? Right. As long as I got stupid up here in between these ears, it's out to get me. It's out to say, you can have one. You've been sober a long time. You can have one. And I'm not saying that we as alcoholics, but I'm not really willing to let go of the spiritual gift that I have received only by being a member of Alcoholics Anonymous through the process of the steps. I'm a diseased heart patient. It's real simple. I don't need no, oh, wow, or whatever. You know, and then, you know, I got so many AAs involved in my life. I'm AARP, too. You know what I mean? I got triple A auto insurance, man. And double A here, altered attitude. I mean, everything, as you get older, man, we get the A's. I was a failure in high school, but now I'm graduating. Shit. I'm getting all kinds of A's. And what I'm doing here tonight is right down here on step 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps. We carry this message to alcoholics that still suffer. I don't know who's going to get anything out of this. Maybe somebody in this room tonight, and I don't, there might be one, okay, that will say, oh, this guy's a terrible speaker. Oh, this guy's got an ego. Oh, this guy, I don't care. I want everyone to like me in Alcoholics Anonymous. But I ran my life on that. I ran my life on what I thought you wanted to see in me. I can be me for once in my life. I try to practice these principles in all my affairs. In the 12 and 12, I'm not a big 12 and 12 thumper. I'm just not. And I come from the big book of teachings. I do read the 12 and 12. But in that 12 and 12 on page 15, it talks about, you know, AA's 12 steps or a group of steps. Spiritual in their nature, which if practiced as a way of life, can expel the obsession to drink to the sufferer, which is me, and allow me to become useful, happy, and whole. And then right below there, there's another paragraph for the non-alcoholic, that if you practice these 12 steps in your life, you don't have to be an alcoholic. It will automatically improve your life. And we talk about God, God of your own understanding in Alcoholics Anonymous. Not God of T's understanding, because I'd get drunk on his God, you know what I mean? No, but what you know, it's humanly impossible for one God to tell another God what to do. Think about it. See, it's God of your own understanding. And what happens is I was in organized religion, and I had to follow a lot of rules. And I, don't get me wrong, it says in the big book, see where church people, you know, are right. And I've learned to be open-minded since I've been sober. Now I can listen to Joel Osteen and tell my wife while I'm watching on a Sunday, I think he's an alcoholic. No matter what church I go to, I was at a synagogue here with a buddy of mine. Hey, is a rabbi an alcoholic like us? It's amazing that you cannot hear what you need to hear until you're able to hear. That's how God works. That's how my God works. 27 years ago, if there's no way I'd be in front of a group of people like this sharing my experience, strength, and hope. I don't have the time for you. I'm trying to stay sober. Get involved. You know, you'll hear about cliques. I know this group doesn't have any cliques. You know what I mean? I could see that when I came into the business meeting. But I know this group doesn't have cliques. And if it did have a clique, join one. Really confuse them. And when you're having this big barbecue is coming up, say you want Oscar Mayer wieners or whatever, because that's what keeps AA going. We argue, and we'll have a two-hour meeting over, do we have decaf or caffeinated coffee? And do we want Folgers or do we want whoever? Alcoholics Anonymous is my life. My wife is going to be having surgery. I'm retiring next Friday. No work. Yay, yay. I'm happy about it. No applause, because you know what? They pay me for it. Okay? They pay me for it. I get to go to work today. I've learned that a long time ago. I used to always say, my sponsor, I go to work. I used to complain to my sponsor about my wife's overspending at all these lingerie places. You know what I mean? My wife says, take the credit card. Sounds simple, huh? Unless you're married to someone who carries a revolver around with her all the time. And I'd call him up 2 months later. Do you know how much I paid the business paid out on American Express? Tommy, take the credit card away. Guess what? I quit calling and whining to him. Because he'd come up with some really ridiculous stuff like, have you done a gratitude list today yet? And then I'd come like a nice alcoholic, and I'm grateful to be alive. I'm grateful. You know, when you get our age or my age, okay, we're grateful to be alive. That's number one, okay? And then we go down the other things, like I'm grateful for my wife's career. I'm grateful she's not hanging out the house today. I'm grateful for this and this and this. And my sponsor says, how about the guy that's blind? So what are you talking about? aren't you grateful for your eyes? I said, well, come on, you know. He said, go and do another list. Because it's teaching me humility. It's teaching me that I can't take this thing for granted. You know, and I have taken it for granted. I've been dry since I've been sober. Not very long. I have people that, you know, from my home group that know me. You folks don't know me. You're just believing my bullshit tonight. You don't really know me. But I'll tell you one thing. My wife knows me. And to practice these principles in my own affairs or at home is one of the harder things. Especially when you're married to my wife. Because she doesn't have a program. Louie, call my sponsor. Louie, Roberta this. Remember, Tommy, she doesn't have a program. You do. I don't know if anyone else in this room tonight would say F you to your sponsor, but I've said it many of times. You know? And I said it a few years ago. I moved down to San Diego. Sponsor says, I don't think that's a wise move. F you. My wife wants to go to San Diego. She's moved around with me in business and in our ventures throughout our life. You know, I make a daily amends to all my children. My wife and I have no children together. I had three with my first marriage, and she had two. And her son is in the medical field, and he's a flight medic. And he picked up a drunk somewhere in an accident or something. I don't know what, but man, this guy, his skin was red and his bloodshot and this and that. He says, a real alcoholic. And I said, yeah, that's what I am. Oh, no, 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 no. This is a real alcoholic. See, he doesn't remember. I've been sober, he was three when we got married. So he didn't see that. And I said, you need to talk to your brothers and sisters, my part of the family of 14 years on a previous marriage. You ask them if dad's an alcoholic or not. You ask them how many times I beat them or their mama. You ask them how many times I hog-tied them to their bed for a punishment. I'm not proud of it. That's why I have to make a continuous amends. I've been over to all my kids. I'm going to say love me their way. I don't think they love me the way I think I should be loved because I'm sober now. And when they have a little drinky-poo and they get that Patron and the shooters get going over at their house and we're having barbecues and swimming, my sons get a little, we're rough players, and they get a little verbal abuse towards dad and, oh, you and your F&AA and you still owe me amends. And, yeah, I mean, they know enough just to, I don't know about anyone else in this room, but it gets you, man. It's like, oh, man, you know. I got an ex-wife that I made major amends, and there was a letter out on, not Facebook, but an email out to me maybe 6 months ago. It just tore my heart up. Just tore my heart up. Some stuff that happened over 27 years ago. But you know what? Only because of the gift of the program, I get to learn to let go. You know, you make your amends. They make their amends to the best of their ability. And I get to make my amends to them. I get to make living amends. They didn't like me moving down to San Diego. Well, this is, you know, you got a great granddaughter, yada, yada, yada. I have a wife. You guys didn't come and visit dad. You know, here comes a little get even. You didn't come and visit me when I lived in Valencia. Why would you visit me now? You know, that's not right. I'm just going to ignore you, son. But you're doing a great job. And isn't he doing a great job? How long have you been sober? No, I love it. And that's your commitment? How long have you had that commitment? Nice. You're doing a hell of a good job, man. And you're young and buff. I ain't messing with you. I'll be done in about 3 minutes, man. Yeah. Do you have a sponsor? Does he know he's your sponsor? What step are you on? What step are you on? Pardon? Well, say it like you're proud, man. Okay, good. You're doing a good 12 step tonight. Right on me, man. Fucker. Anyhow, but So we'll just sum it up like this. This thing here has given me an opportunity for that laughter. I was just teasing, man. Boy, that look, man. Wow, 9 months, man. Yeah. Shit, I'm not well. I know I used to go to meetings in the San Fernando Valley. We used to go to the Nest and some of the, I don't know if anyone has ever been up in the L.A. area, but and these guys are 35 and 40 years sober, still throwing ashtrays into meetings. Unbelievable, you know. But I'm going to end this with this is, you know, Alcoholics Anonymous has given me everything that I need in my life. All the answers and the solutions to all of my problems are in the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. You might have to open it up. You might have to look for it, you know. But I'm telling you, through some rough times in my sobriety, it hasn't always been cakewalk. I've made money, lost money, had homes, lost homes, business, no business, good business, slow business. And I'm working for a – I had a heart condition 6 years ago. I thought that was the end of my life. And I had great life insurance, and I think my wife doubled it, and I'm still here. You know what I mean? But now I don't have any. They canceled it on me, but no. But the thing is if you're new here, and especially you young people, you know, I never could hear the message. I hope that you got something from the old man here tonight. I really do. You know, I hope you got one little piece of a message. And if that message, the only message that you got is we don't drink no matter what, then that's the start. The willingness to say, hey, some of you still live at home maybe. Some of you are dealing with death in your family and divorces and losing homes during our recession, listening to long-winded speakers like myself, okay? But you know what? I see a lot of people. How many people in this room have over 20 years of sobriety? Look at this. You know what? It works. See that? And the only reason and the only way they got 20 years is they continue to do the same things that they've done for those 20 years. Trust God, clean house, and work with others. Thank you.